Well, this is a bit quieter than where we were last week.
No, isn't it just? This is very beautiful here.
We've got the shades on, we've got the sun shining in our face. There's a few little kind of soft, sprinkly parts of clouds in the sky, but it's just a peaceful picnic bench in the car park of the Slimming World Sparkly Castle. Other people go into the Sparkly Castle. We've done episodes in the toilets before, haven't we? Which are full of glitz and glamour, not as you would think. There's even the kitchen. There's even the canteen. There's, you know, the atrium. There's the phone booths. But no, we come to the car park and sit on the park bench. But I mean, it's good, right, to be out. It's good to be out.
Feel the air. Yeah, get some fresh air. It's good for the soul.
Well, I mean, if we kind of put this on level of progress, we've gone from having all of our meetings about Slimming World on Zoom.
Yes.
Now we're here on the picnic bench. Maybe what we do next time is we progress to somewhere a little bit more glamorous inside the building of head office.
We could do that, couldn't we? So can you imagine with people or food? Like, wow. I mean, the possibilities are endless, Claire, I feel.
So anyway, this is Slimming World Podcast and we are talking about progress. And not perfection, as this is something that apparently I need to practice.
Do you know, Claire, when this title came to us, I just thought about you. And I mean this in the nicest way, but it really made me think about you and the type of mindset you've had. And I meet many people in that. And I'm saying this in not a bad way, but how learning to kind of know what trying to be a perfectionist does to you is really important, and just giving yourself a bit of a break. So this episode's just for Claire, guys. It's going to be me giving Claire therapy, so just listen for the next 25-30
minutes. I think we're going to kind of think about what is the cost of perfection.
Yeah.
What is the impact that it can have on you and your mindset? We're going to have some tips about maybe things that you might just kind of go, oh, I do that.
Yeah.
How can I kind of tweak that? How can I think about that in a different way? So it's kind of a practical, chatty, rambly, sit in the sunshine with the shade one on, I would say.
Yep. Oh, highbrow broadcasting here, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Yeah, but I think it's what we really want to do with today's episode is really get to the point that understanding that perfection when it comes to weight loss can be such a great thing, but it's just watching out if there's any kind of warning signs that are saying, hang on, am I putting a bit too much pressure on myself?
Well, we will snap a photo of where we are recording this podcast for you and share it on our Instagram. And we will do that whilst we get to play some beautiful ukuleles. Right, I'm taking the photo in 3, 2, 1. I mean, that is the ultimate glamour photo there, people.
What were you just doing?
I don't like doing serious photos where you smile. I mean,
oh, okay.
I like to do silly, like, kind of what kind of photos. So we'll share that on our Instagram. It's at Slimming World Podcast, where you'll find a ton of other fascinating resources and things. And just a heads up that we're actually doing a listener's questions episode next week. So you have just about got time to slip in to our inbox, to slide in to
you
our
want
DMs.
To say that, don't you? Slide into my DMs.
Yeah.
Give us some interesting questions that have never been asked before about food optimising. I just need to give that caveat.
Not too technical or specific. That are friendly, that are not too, that are suitable for a family audience.
Shall I just not have said that?
Yeah. If you want to email us, by the way, we're slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. And a little reminder here that, you know, whilst we are sponsored by Slimming World officially, these are our personal experiences, our personal stories that we share as part of this podcast. Right, so perfection.
Talk to me about it.
Perfection, like, I was thinking about some of the statements that I kind of felt were true when I started my Slimming World journey, and, you know, like 9 years ago, whatever. What was my expectations about going on a diet, about losing weight? I felt that when I was on a diet, I had to lose every single week. Like, there was no room for maintenance or gains. And when I got to Target, I expected myself to stay at this exact number forever. Like, I could not go up, I could not go down. I needed to be at this exact number every week without fail. Even when I went to go to the gym, I would expect myself to walk into the gym and be able to do all of the moves absolutely perfect without scaling or adapting them. Else, I was weak or I'd failed in some way, like I hadn't really done it properly. And I mean, now I say that and I'm like, oof, that sounds absolutely ridiculous. But it's only by doing image therapy, it's only by having these conversations with you that I've kind of caught myself having these thoughts. And actually, when I've written some of these thoughts down, where did I get that thought from? Where did I get that expectation from? You know, like social media has a big part to play in this. Even in the social media, like Slimming World, Instagram world, you know, we see all the hashtags and people posting their before and the afters. Sometimes we don't always, like we talk about it a lot, but don't see the bit in the middle.
That's the bit I'm interested in, yeah. Because anyone can post a beautiful selfie now and a horrible picture from before, but it's about the grey. I think what you've spotted in yourself is that perfectionist. And you are a perfectionist in your life, in your work, you know, and that can be so fantastic. But I think it's the belief. It's almost like your subconscious is saying, Claire, it's not going to happen. So if I try and put these amazing kind of caveats in it, it makes me feel almost like I told myself so if it didn't happen. So actually, you were never destined to lose weight because you never expected to. You were only ever going to lose weight, and now you've had a gain. It wasn't going to happen for you. It's like you were setting yourself up to fail sometimes.
Totally.
A perfectionist.
It
really, really is, and how bad it makes you feel. And I think it's what it's understanding is that thought process effective to me losing weight or becoming fitter or maintaining my weight loss? And 9 times out of 10 it isn't, because it's pressurizing, isn't it? Being perfect is pressurized, and none of us are perfect. I'm not, are you?
I think allowing, I've always felt like kind of saw failure as like a bit of a weakness, I suppose, on myself, right?
Yeah.
But now I recognise that in order to kind of reach a kind of goal, you're going to have bumps along the way. You should almost come to expect that at some point there will be a gain. Like, why would you ever think, right, I've taken this 12-week countdown, I've got a stone and a half to lose, and boom, I'm going to lose every single week until I reach that target point. Like, that's just like a straight line. It just, I mean, now I kind of think, it's unrealistic. Why would you do that? I wouldn't expect anybody else to do that.
I think, do you know what? There are certain people that in certain times in their life will have the straight line journey. You know, I meet many. But there are also a lot of people who, like me, have gone on every A road possible. And it's understanding that that doesn't mean you're not successful. You still get to the same end point, don't you? Like, athletes training for the Olympics, they plan in for injury. They plan in for bad weather. They plan in for things to go wrong. What happens to us as slimmers, once we decide we want to lose weight, we feel it should happen instantly, and if it doesn't, somehow we're unsuccessful. Actually, losing weight's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Do you know what I mean? It's taken so much of my soul, and it's understanding that when something's tough, it is going to mean that there are massive bumps. But you're no less worthy, or you're not a failure if that happens. Actually, to go in realistically and say, can I make enough of a plan so that by the end of the 12 weeks, my habits have changed? Can I make enough of a plan so that by the time I've got to target, I've changed my life enough to keep this weight off? What we want is we want to get there because we want the pain to be over. That's what I was like.
That, I think that kind of idea around like the habits and the behaviours, and like I think the phrase that's kept me going is like consistency is key.
So important.
So rather than chasing goals and kind of targets, I suppose, I've kind of actually been working on habit streaks instead. And so how do I make that stick and be a way of life? It is almost better. Like, again, it kind of made me think about Sam, who we did like the Body Magic episode with a few weeks ago. And I saw a friend at the weekend, and she used to love running, but only when she had a race, only when she had like a 10k race or a half marathon race. And because she hadn't done any races for ages, she just hadn't done any fitness. And I was like, ah, okay, so you do it for a goal, but you don't do it as part of your life. And she said, I just, you know, I'm not not really motivated. And that kind of just made me think, I recognize how far I'd come, because I had decided to make Body Magic a part of my life in lots of different varied forms. How I can't imagine
not
by choice,
active.
Not going to the gym for a yeah. week now. And if you listen back to like episode one or two, I was at the point where I was like, I know I need to do this. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Now, whatever, we're on 150 episodes onwards. I kind of can't imagine removing that, and that habit, that behaviour. I think once you kind of put your focus on that, then the weight loss and the numbers on the scale kind of just work out anyway.
Yeah, it's understanding to get to that point, what you had to do was be slow and consistent.
Yeah.
What I see of a lot of people, and I was this person, January, join the gym, join Slimming World, do it, rush, 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 rush. By Valentine's Day, I wouldn't have committed or been there because I tried to do too much pressure, too perfect. Whereas actually, what you did was you built it up and you built it up and you kept going. It's like you've got to target. The first four stone were very fast. The last bit wasn't, but you kept going with it. So you got there in the end. But what will happen if you allow that perfectionist in you to destroy you is that your journey will stop.
Yeah.
Because you just get so destroyed by it, by the fact that you feel like you're failing. Because actually, what would you say to your mum, your best friend? You wouldn't say they were failing. You go, come on, keep going. You've got it. Keep going. But because it's yourself and you've got that script playing in your head, it's, oh, Claire, you're here again. Messed up. Told you wouldn't do it. Oh, yeah. Well, you might as well go and have some cake because you're destined to be fat. And it's catching yourself with that. It's also understanding that you've learnt to behave in a certain way. So you've learnt, some of us have learnt that actually to be the perfectionist, some of us have learnt not to even try because it won't happen, or some of us are just so manana about it that it doesn't happen. So it's finding the balance of all those three things and going, actually, you know, this is the right balance and vibe for me, because I'm not about pressure, especially with my members, but I'm also not about leaving them to just settle. So there's a difference, you know, because I know everyone is capable of losing at least a pound and a half a week consistently. I know that can happen, but a lot of people don't have that belief in themselves. Mm. I'm also really important to me that my members know that they're not going to lose 4 stone in 3 minutes. Because how many of us walk into a group, I'm sure you've done it, and you're like, can you just fix me by next week? Mm. Like, and that's what we want. And then the perfectionist in you drives you to do things with the plan, because you must have done it. You become quite restrictive or strict within the plan.
Yep.
What's that about? That's about you getting the quickest result, getting the best outcome so that you can say, I got to target without a gain, or whatever it is. Mm. So it's kind of catching yourself. Do you think the journey's changed you? Do you think you've unravelled?
I think the hardest part for me is right now. And we hear this, don't we, from so many listeners about when you reach target and they're maintaining like the Slim for Life plan. This is so hard. Because
what are you finding hard?
I think it is still wrestling with the idea of, right, I've reached target, now I can't slip up, I can't go out of this.
So it's the target range.
It's like the target range, and then if I go out, then I can't, like, feel like I have to restrict myself to kind of go back in. Mm. And I just don't back myself. And I think like the limiting belief that if I really peel back the layers, it's just, I don't believe that I can stay here. Like my original thing maybe like 6 months ago was, I don't believe I can get to target. I don't believe I can stay at target. And now I'm here, I'm a bit like, well, it won't last. I mean, you'll put all the weight back on eventually. Mm. Like, who do you think you are? Mm. If I'm really true with myself, and I can feel like sometimes the corset getting really tight, and then I have the kind of blowouts, right, to make myself feel better. And I'm having to really, really strip it back. I've gone back to food diaries. I've gone back to just thinking about the habits. But it's also just, I suppose, accepting that it is really difficult. And I'm trying to write down, I suppose, the progress that I'm making. So, you know, progress in the gym, wearing, you know, a nice dress to go to the wedding the other week. How did that make me feel, you know, sleeping better? It's that, but I cannot help but still feel like I am fixated on a number on the scales. And that is how I personally measure my success of, you know, if that number isn't what I want it to be on the scales, then I have failed. It is not perfect for me.
Yeah, I understand that. But that's where you've centred all your hope, all your fear is in that bucket, is in that number, isn't it? And what it's about when you get to target and understanding is that you're going to keep doing this, but you need to do it at a pace and in a way that you can integrate this. Because if you're still feeling restricted, you're still feeling the corset's too tight and then you're bursting out, we need to practice some new habits, because it's that lack of belief that's probably holding you back. It's also probably, and I would say this to any target member, are you weighing too often? Mm-hmm. Like, actually, target members don't need to weigh every week. You know what you're doing? You got this in the bag. Go buy your jeans. Whereas what happens when we're fearful is we go, I've got to weigh every week. I've got to weigh every week. I've got to weigh every week. Then if the scales go up, that then may trip you psychologically. And you think, well, I don't deserve to be too higher in my target zone. I should be. And then the cycle starts. So I think a really important thing to anyone listening who's in this zone and they're at target is understanding, if the scales are affecting you, remember to trust in your own understanding of the plan and your own understanding of yourself, and weigh in every 4 weeks, weigh in every 8 weeks, but get to group and get that support. Because what we wouldn't want for anybody to be at target is having to feel like it's a chore, you've got to do the food diary and you're fixated. And I guess that's where your fear is pulling you, isn't it? Because what we do when we stop on our weight loss journey and get to target is we go, well, how am I going to get celebrated now? What's this about? Where does the strokes come from? What makes me feel better? And it's almost like you're berating yourself because you've got there. Because the lack of belief, we're scared, aren't we? We're all scared we're going to go back to that person we were, but you're not. And it's getting that belief, but it's looking at, where is this faltering for me? Is it because I don't truly believe I should be here? Or is it because, and this is what I had to acknowledge, I want to be here, but I want to be eating all the cake I want. I don't want to be having to look at what I'm eating anymore. And that was the biggest thing for me. I just wanted the pressure taken off. The moment I clocked, Anna, this is where your area lies, where you need help and support. If you want to be this weight, you've got to eat this way. And I think maybe you're grappling with both. Is that fair to say?
I think it's a multitude of things. But yeah. If you like look at the title of this podcast, like Practicing Progress, Not Perfection, I mean, I suppose you can kind of say, well, when you reach target, well, what? Well, now what?
Like, you get to enjoy life.
If practicing progress, how do I grow? How do I move from here? And it's, suppose it's like kind of thinking about, you know, just sitting with it. I feel a bit like I'm goalless.
Yeah, but mate, what I was just going to say to you is, why does there need to be a goal? What about just being?
Because I think I've just used it as a way to kind of berate myself for so many years that now I'm a bit like lost out at sea without a paddle.
But it's about accepting I'm okay.
I don't get this phrase, you just have to enjoy where you're at, enjoy. What? I don't know, I just doesn't feel right
for
me. So
this is the thing, right? Like,
you know, because you hear this along the way that you say, but oh, you've done so well so far, but you've lost a stone, or you've lost 2 stone already.
Do you never
celebrate
just
that? I've always struggled with that.
Yeah, but the place I got to, and it may be just a headspace, and this isn't with my weight, but this is my life, where I just sit back and go, this is cool. I'm here. It's what I always wanted, and I've got it, and it's
no
here.
Way I live in fear.
Right. That's what's talking to you. And it's sometimes about going, Claire, you're there. Just enjoy the beautiful dress. Enjoy the fact that you can do that at the gym. What you're doing to yourself is going, hang on, you're not going to stay here. You're not going to stay here. It's going to end. Or I'm going to balls it up. And then look at how the eating goes in. Because actually, you could food optimize all the time, Claire, and you could stay at target, but what's happening is you're pushing your emotional buttons, you're bursting out, and then you're restricting. Mm-hmm. You're going to group, you're getting on the scales, feeling rubbish, doing it all over again. If I was your consultant, I would say to you, strip it back, don't get on those scales, because it's the number, isn't it?
And
there'll be so many people listening today who that they're striving for that perfect number. Where does this number come from? Like, actually, do you feel happy in your clothes? Do you feel happy in the way you look when you see in the mirror? Do you feel fitter? Do you feel healthier? Don't worry about the number.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I lined up 10 women that were your weight, you'd all look totally different, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So remember, it's what you put on the number, not what the number actually is. It's the emotional attachment you've got to that number.
Interesting.
It is. But I think what I've learned about perfection, because I'm not a perfectionist, and I tell you why I'm not, and this is from when I was young, so very severely dyslexic, told wouldn't ever amount to anything. So perfection was never going to be in my life, because actually it was just getting to a point of being able to do something. So I always vowed to myself that if something felt like it was hurting me, I just wouldn't do it. And maybe ill health does this survival, I'm just going to tick, tick, tick. And I think it's about you accepting, and anyone listening accepting, It's okay to be here. It's okay if I put £3 on. It's equally okay to be scared if I put £3 on, but trust in myself that I've got the tools to change this. But also look where the pressure's coming from. Is it social media? Is it, you know, your past self? Is it someone else's view about you? Is it your BMI? Where is that pressure? Have you worked out what your pressure is?
I don't know. I feel like my bad relationship with food has been a lot for many, many years. I mean, I even remember a situation when I was at school and a dinner lady really upset me. I can remember it. I was like 6 or 7 and I was really upset, and because I didn't want to eat any more of my food, she made me stay until I'd ate it. And she got reported. I obviously must have gone home and told my mum and dad, and they contacted school. But the fact that I can remember that
hurts.
You know, that's how far back some of these things that we're actually unpicking. And that's where I think, for me, I suppose, like, there are lots of different plans out there. But what I enjoyed, I suppose, mostly about the image therapy with Slimmer World was it helped me kind of pick apart the psychological aspect. Yeah. It wasn't just, here's a food plan, eat this and you'll be fixed. Like, actually, I recognise that perhaps there's some kind of deep embedded things going on here that it's just going to take time to unpick.
Yeah, and also remembering that just because you hit target, you don't get sprinkled with some magic that makes it easy, gets you fixed. And this is to anybody on their weight loss journey or whatever it is, it's knowing this is a constant thing to practice. You know when, and it's going back to that activity thing is, again, you know when someone's at the height of their game in tennis or whatever, they don't just stop practicing because they've got there, they work even harder because they have. Mm. And it's acknowledging and taking off the pressure. And I'm not sure if you've ever deeply accepted this, that this is you. You're always gonna have to work on what you eat to keep the body that you've now got. And it's that acceptance, isn't it? Because for many, many years, I'd say about 15 years, I was just waiting for the diet to end. And when you take that pressure off, you go, okay, I'll have some good days, I'll have some bad days. What am I beating myself up for? Because it's not worth it. Another little tip that always helps me is to look at yourself as your friend, not as yourself. What would you say to Claire if she was your best mate? Not, how am I going to make her feel rubbish? You'd sit there and go, Claire, you're in a red dress that is probably 4 or 5 sizes smaller than you were before. Do you know what I mean? You're going to the gym 3 times a week. You're doing all these amazing things. You'd celebrate. So it's just watching that inner perfectionist that seeks out to find fault in things. And I think there's many of us that have got that. We look at things, rather than the joy it brings, we look at the bits that could be better. And I think there's a lot. And the nature of the jobs you do as well, you look at things and you're trying to make them perfect, aren't you? So you're looking for holes. And it happens to us all in our lives, don't we? We go, that's not right, that's not right, that's not right, rather than going, but that's brilliant.
Yeah, see, one of the hardest things someone ever set me at this challenge, right, was to write down a list of my achievements to date.
All right.
And I wrote down my achievements, underlined it and put the pen down and didn't go back to it for about 4 weeks. I couldn't. It took me ages to just even accept and write down things, because for a long time I felt like if I wasn't size 8 dress, married with 2 kids, a dog and a house and a nice car and
don't
a stable
the
job, then I'd failed.
Oh,
you know, that is the picture. I couldn't see all the different kind of colours and interesting parts of my life. And it was funny because, you know, I realised then, oh, this is an issue. I might need to work on this.
Just a little.
And that was, gosh, about 5 or 6 years ago. But even in the last week, I went to the gym last week and it was me and a bunch of the boys, and we were doing a weightlifting technical class. And
with a bunch of boys. Can we just say girl, boys before we even start? Do you feel like you should be weightlifting like them?
No, it's not. That's not how it is. We all do the same drills, okay? And so it's practicing technique.
Oh, okay.
If you know weightlifting, I'm talking about the snatch, okay? The snatch skill is incredibly technical.
If you just tuned in now, she's talking about weightlifting.
Weightlifting, absolutely. But it's very difficult, okay? And it's lots of things like putting a barbell over your head and squatting down with it, holding it over your head, and it's very difficult. And I have really struggled with this. I'm afraid of dropping it on my head.
Oh,
I'm afraid of breaking my neck.
Yeah.
I'm afraid, and then I fall over a lot. I don't have the strength. I'm working on the mobility. But on this technical thing, everybody else was like kind of weightlifting loads. They've got big big boy plates on there and everything, and I'm really struggling with it, just empty.
You're trying not to break your neck.
And I kept going and I kept going and I kept going, and I walked through the door afterwards and I burst into tears, because I think I'd just been holding so much kind of pressure within me to like just be able to do it. Like, what's wrong with you? Why can't you do it? Everybody else can do it. The next day I got up and I went back to the gym, and we actually were doing that as part of a workout. And I lifted the bar and I told myself, you're just going to try this. You're going to have fun. There's no pressure. And I did it.
There you go.
And it was like, you know, 10 hours later. But I think it was... And then I went, you know, just the fact that I got up in the morning, although it wasn't an enjoyable experience, although it scared me, although I wasn't acing it, I got up the next day and I just went at it. And Matt said to me, that's where you're making your gym a habit,
yeah,
because you still go and you still push yourself even though you are scared, yeah, and you are worried and you feel out of your comfort zone. And he said that's how you're going to make progress.
But it's yeah, that pressure that boils within you though, isn't it? And that's the thing to watch with you, yeah, like you're doing that with Target, and so many people who are listening will be doing the same. And it's knowing, look, all it was a different mindset and you did it.
I think, well, one of the coaches had said to me a couple of months ago, this is meant to be fun.
Yes,
and,
Claire.
and I'm very bad, like, Slimming World, going to Slimming World, losing weight, it can and is meant to be fun,
well,
right?
Well, I hope so. That's what my whole life is pivoted around.
But I would never have thought that. I would have thought, right, you've been naughty, you've got to go on a diet, you've got to go to, you know, Fat Fighters Club or whatever they blooming called it, you know? The stereotype and the pressure that I put in my own head about this expectation that at no point are you allowed to laugh or smile, you've been very naughty and you must be on the naughty step.
And then you got me as a consultant, you must have thought, oh my God. But it's understanding that's your internal pressure, isn't it? And actually, we don't see what you haven't achieved, we only see what you have achieved. And it's really important that you recognize this, that you're doing a brilliant job. And this is to anyone out there, even if the brilliant job is just deciding that you're going to listen to something that's Slimming World related, or the fact you walked in the door, you're doing a brilliant job. And you don't have to be achieving great things to be successful.
Do you know, like, I'm a list person, okay? Like, I have
really,
to do
lists.
I've
never
lists.
Noticed. Never.
But at the end of the day, I often used to look at how much was left on my list rather than how much I'd done. And it's almost like, imagine if you could just banish to-do lists and you could only write done lists.
I mean, you know, do you not do the trick where you write all the things that are so easy, like get out of bed, brush my teeth, pick up the Hoover, and then you've got a huge list, and then you make the next day's list out of what's left. It's looking at the glass half full or half empty, and I think, yeah, it's recognising, in terms of weight loss, how detrimental it can be if you're pressurising yourself too much and you're seeking perfection in weight loss, because it very, very, very rarely happens. You may get that straight line to target. What happens when you get to target? You haven't changed enough habits, so you have a massive wobble. You may take 5,867 days to get to target, but you've embedded those habits. So it's really looking at, and I always think about this, is the way I'm feeling and thinking and talking to myself right now a constructive thing? Is it beneficial for me to achieve that? If it's not, I've got to fix something up.
Someone was saying to me the other week, it was more around like identity and habits,
yes,
rather than like goals and targets. So, which I thought was really interesting. So like, if you want your identity to be like, I'm a slim, active, healthy person, that's your identity, then you're going to want to kind of form habits that align with that identity.
Of course, yeah.
So, whereas sometimes when you kind of have a goal, you know, you need quite a lot of willpower to kind of reach it.
Yeah.
Whereas building things around your identity means that you can often be more motivated. Like,
because you want it, yeah.
That can be more motivational than, say, just relying on willpower or perfectionism alone.
Or just one goal, like you see it, a wedding, a race, something like that. Actually, I'm doing this to carve out the person I want to be, and recognizing the person I want to be wouldn't talk to themselves like that. The person I want to be wouldn't restrict myself like that. The person I want to be would be kind. So it's catching yourself. It's really fascinating when you do catch yourself. Oh, he's putting the bins out. Because then you can change it and recognise it. I think the thing that's so good about you is you know yourself very well. What we've just got to help you and support you with is making those changes so you don't beat yourself up so much.
I think the hardest thing ever is losing weight for no particular event or goal. Like doing it for yourself is so much more difficult. I mean, I know that people do have the wedding, the big birthday, and that's what they're working towards. But actually doing it for you, like if you remove that, would you do this journey differently? Is what I wonder for some people.
I think it's a very interesting thing to think about. Like, I think about, I just want to be really happy in the person that I am, and being the weight I want to be is going to aid that. But I think what I've gained an understanding of is that being that weight does not make me happy. It is part of making me happy, because I attached so much to weight loss and being a certain weight. Still had a dad that was dying, still had bills I couldn't pay, still had, you know, bad people in my life. I was just doing it in small jeans.
Yeah.
And it's recognising that, because I think that's where a lot of people get hit like a truck, because they think, well, I thought this was going to fix me. I thought this was what I needed. No, we need to fix everything in our mind as well.
Someone also said to me, what would you like your life to be like, say, when you're 65 years old? I mean, and I'm sure that we have listeners who are older than that, or maybe even at that age, or maybe a few months or years away from that age. But I thought that was really interesting, because it helped me think long term, as opposed to just now, this week weigh in, this, you know, to get back to target or whatever. It helped me think, well, what type of life do I want to live when I'm 65? Because the habits that I build and form now will inevitably help my health stay on track, so that I can be a healthy, active 65-year-old. I want to be one of those people who pops off to a cruise or goes down to the caravan, you know, and has fish and chips with their family willy-nilly, and, you know, like still goes to the gym or goes on the bike and goes for long walks climbing up big hills. I want to be an active older person, so why would I just think that this is a temporary thing that I need to do now to get to target?
Because it's the thing that we've got to understand is where our brains are programmed. And when we interviewed James about the kind of psychology of food and everything.
For the calories episode, let's talk calories.
Sorry, I should have said that.
You say James like he's just like, James, I don't know, your husband or something. Professor James Stubbs.
Oh, sorry.
He's got a title and everything.
It was talking about, you know, in terms of evolution, like where we at and in our brains and weight loss, we've been around 5 minutes. Like, we actually have to understand how our brains are programmed, and our brains are programmed to like sugar, like fat, like lying down, you know. So actually we're fighting against that kind of inner response that we used to have, and what we want to now have in our life. So that's why forgiveness is so important, because it's understanding that sometimes you will be going to the gym and nailing it, some weeks you just feel a bit rubbish, but that's okay. It's planning for the grey, that's the key. Things are not black or white, they are very much grey and mixed up, aren't they?
Yeah. Whew. Well, this has been a deep and meaningful pick apart.
Do you? Sweaty now.
I've got the sun in my face. Can barely see you.
I've got a sweaty underboob.
Wow. I mean, if there was ever an out for the podcast, that's right there.
You know what I mean, ladies, maybe gents. There's nothing worse on a hot, sweaty day, is there?
We will not be taking a photo of that and sharing it on our Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. Well, I mean, this has been such a... I think it's a subject that I will always kind of linger over, I put that nicely. There is actually a brilliant article on Lifeline Online,
it's
if
really
you want
good.
To read about this, and it's titled Give Perfectionism the Push. You can just type that in into search in the features, and it talks about thinking shades of grey, avoid quick fixes, celebrate your successes, ask for help, and keep it real.
Keep it real, I like that.
Yeah, and it has a couple of case studies that are attached to it. So that's there if this is the subject that you want to kind of think about. And maybe like with your journals, like I kind of started to write down some of these limited beliefs and these kind of unrealistic expectations that I was putting on myself. And when I wrote it down and imagined, like, as you say, like a friend saying that out loud to me, how would I respond to that friend?
Very differently.
And this idea about celebrating the successes, you know, noticing your progress, I think is essential.
Oh, 100%. Really noticing. That's why non-scales victories are key. Really are. And I think that's what you've got to notice more.
Yeah. I mean, to be continued.
I'm going to hammer this into your brain.
Well, I'd really be interested to know, like, where your head's at at the moment? Is this a subject that really, really resonates with you? Can you offer me any advice if you're someone who has been through this and has found some kind of ways through it? We'd love to share this as part of our light bulb moments in our next week's episode, which is listeners' questions. Do email us, like I say, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. In the meantime, we'll get a fresh cold drink, perhaps with some ice.
Maybe, have a little refresh in the bathroom.
It's a bit different to recording in the car with the bum warmer on, isn't it?
I know, or the aircon on. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, not so great for recording, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, true.
Just sound like we're recording in a fridge or something.
Okay, maybe not. Okay, that's why you're the podcast producer and I'm the Slimming World consultant.
Anyway, this has been a therapy session for Claire.
Yeah.
It's been great that you've been able to be a part of this.
You've been a fly on the wall at Anna's therapy.
Have a great week, whatever you get up to, and have a wonderful, wonderful tea tonight.
Bye for now.